Hey there, podcast fam. Welcome to Sisters Say It All, the podcast where we spill the tea, share the laughs, and explore all topics that make life awesome and not so awesome. With us, anything goes. We're your favorite sister duo, Sophie Eckerhoff and Stephanie Luck, who have no boundaries when it comes to discussing everything under the sun. Think of us as your go-to pals, ready to chat, laugh, and sometimes cry. So let's get started, friends. Welcome to Sisters Say It All. Hello, hello. Welcome. Happy Monday.
Welcome back to another episode. We've got a very special lady here with us today, and we're really excited to get her on. Jess is actually an early childhood teacher. As parents with young children, we have so many great questions, so we thought we would get an expert in her field in and ask away. So thank you so much for being here, Jess.
Thanks for having me.
So what we normally do, Jess, we just ask how you've been, how's your week been. Sometimes we'll say like three words to describe our week, but whatever you feel comfortable with.
Hectic. Yeah, my son turned 10 yesterday.
So happy birthday.
Yeah, that was exhausting.
Yeah, oh my God, I bet. Did you have a birthday party for him?
We haven't yet. It's coming up this weekend.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, he's going on a boys bushwalk adventure.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Hanging outdoors, so he obviously loves the outdoors.
Yeah, yeah. My husband's an outdoor teacher, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. That sounds fun. And what about you, Soph?
Yeah, week's been good. We had Steph's hens like 2 weeks ago, so I feel like I've finally recovered from that, which sounds crazy, but no, I'm feeling a lot more energetic this week, and yeah, feeling good otherwise.
It definitely, we were saying earlier today, it's almost like an emotional hangover when you're surrounded by so many people. Not even that it was so many people.
We went to Brisbane for Steph's hens, and
there was about 10 of us, and I think you're just always on. And we it took me days to recover,
and we didn't even like go out. Like, we were in bed by 9 o'clock on the Sunday. It wasn't this like rager, but it's just
no.
What about you, Steph?
Yeah, same thing, honestly, can't complain. Feel good, the sun is shining, spring has definitely sprung. So yeah, I'm feeling good.
Okay, good. Well, let's go. Let's ask Jess some of these awesome questions. Start telling us a little bit about yourself and your background in early childcare education.
Yeah, so it all started when I was about 16, 15 or 16. So I left school after year 10.
Yep.
School just wasn't really my thing.
Yeah.
I'm dyslexic, so that was always a struggle. So mum was like, sure, you can quit school, but you need to get a job.
Yeah.
And so I got a traineeship in childcare, and then kind of just worked my way up. Did a traineeship, then I went and did my diploma, and did that for a while, and then realized, you know, that the pay was not great.
Which is really disappointing.
Yeah,
it's such a big job.
Yeah, like it's just not a career. Especially back then, it has improved, but back then it wasn't a career that you could then support yourself on.
Yeah, wow. And
like, yeah,
such an important role.
Yeah,
exactly. Such a life changing role, right?
Yeah, totally. And yeah, people need childcare.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's so people find it struggling. Like so many people that I speak to on the coast, a lot of people that have just moved up like myself, trying to get their child in a daycare.
Yeah.
You know, being on waiting lists for years or for months.
Yeah,
and
so I think our current waiting list is 3 years.
Yes.
I mean, I'm on the waiting list to your one and I have not heard anything and it's been over a year. I think Felix went there when he was like 6 weeks old or something, that you know, you do the little tour guide thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so I went and got my degree and so I am now like an early childhood teacher.
Lovely.
And I can teach in primary school, so I
awesome.
So it's 0 to 8 year old I can teach. So I spent 4 years in WA teaching in an Aboriginal community.
Oh, wow.
That experience, like that's
It was really good. Like 4 years was enough because it was, we kind of lived in the community as well. So it was like 24/7 teaching because I was teaching the little kids.
Yeah.
And then they would like come to my house after school and on the weekends, and it was just like knocking on the doors.
Did you have kids then when you were doing that?
So I didn't to start with. I had my daughter when I was out there.
Yeah.
And then I went back to teaching and just taught for the morning and she just came with me.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
That would have been such a great experience.
So I had a teacher's aide, an Aboriginal lady, and she just looked after Chloe while I taught. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
And so, which is why we kept staying out there. Yeah. And then I had my son and it was a bit harder with two,
of course.
So we came back over the East Coast and I've had four kids now.
Yeah, well, you were saying they range from 12 to 3 and a half.
Yeah, Yeah.
Younger sister and a half.
Yeah, so three girls and a boy.
Good range there.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all very different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I took some time off to stay at home with the kids. Yeah, I've gone back into working in a childcare rather than a school.
Yes.
Just as I think I like that age better. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what age do you mainly look after?
At the moment, I'm in a room that is, they range from about 2 to 3.
Yeah. That's a fun age.
Room. Yeah.
A hectic
yeah.
age, though.
Yeah.
I think Lenny's in, yeah, he would be. He's yeah, 2 yeah. turning 3 in March. So,
yeah.
He absolutely loves it. And what inspired you to pursue a career in childcare education? So, obviously, at the beginning, you needed...
Yeah, at the beginning, I guess it was I just needed a job. Mm-hmm. But I guess I was always just good with kids.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a really calm kind of...
You do? Yeah, I can say you're very calm.
Yes.
And so, I just have always just been really good with kids, I think.
Yeah.
And so, that's what sort of, yeah, pushed me to do that. And then just really love it. Yeah.
Oh, that's I can. So it's good. Probably... I mean, being a parent is one of the most rewarding jobs in the world. But then being a teacher or an early childhood teacher, I can imagine too, is just such a rewarding job because they become like your little babies, right? And you see them grow and flourish and learn. And
And I did think, like once I had kids of my own, especially having 4, I was like, oh, I was really nervous about going back. Thinking, am I going to still enjoy it? So I'm going home to kids as well. But it's really different. And
I thought that too with my, as a like teacher's aide 2 days a week, obviously they're high school in the support unit. But, you know, same thing. I'm like, I've only got one.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, very good. But like,
but one is still one. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. And going home to him and then being, you know, at school. It's, you do, and I miss them when I don't see them. And I've, you know, learned to build those relationships. And it does, it's different. But it's
well, you
still
take them
enjoyable.
Under your wing, especially if you're like a nurturer, which I can see that you are.
Yeah.
And I love when I speak to my boy, daycare teacher, and you can just see how genuinely happy they are for them or excited. And I think that's so lovely.
And that leads me into the next question. Obviously, childcare can be both rewarding and challenging. Mm. What would you say some strategies that you would use to handle more challenging aspects of the role? For example, like kids with, you know, any sort of like disability, or even kids with, you know, that might have like separation anxiety or something like what Steph's going through with Hux at the moment. But we can
touch on that after. Yeah.
Yeah. But what would you say are some strategies that you would use?
Yeah. So I guess like the really good thing, or I guess something that I really like about working in a childcare preschool environment is that you're working with a team.
Yes.
So it's not like all the pressure isn't on me
dealing
with a challenging behaviour or something. You can you collaborate with the other staff about how can we help this child. But it's also the other difference is that in early childhood you're working with families a lot closer. It's really
I don't really speak to Zyla's teacher as much as I speak to Huxley and Lenny's teacher in daycare.
True,
I don't ever really speak to him. Hi, how are you going?
It's a team,
definitely.
So you want to know what's happened the night before with the child because maybe they're just really tired and that's why they're behaving in a certain way, or like the communication issues or whatever, whatever it could be. You want to work with the families because I find with school it is very separate. It's like home and school.
You kind of only know through their report card.
Yeah,
teacher night really. Otherwise, you don't really know unless what Zyla.
Unless there's
home.
Some issue.
Yeah,
right? That's when they contact you.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to my child's teacher and say, "Oh, she had a really late night tonight."
Nothing.
So she might be a bit tired, you know,
exactly.
And do you feel like it's very important? Because that's really interesting, you know, that you say sharing things that maybe could be the reason as to why they're in a bad mood that day.
Yeah.
So do you think as a parent, it's important for us to, you know what it is? I sometimes feel like I don't ever want to put anyone out or don't want to take anyone's time, waste anyone's time. So I don't ever think to be like, oh, and by the way, last night Lenny, you know, was up all night coughing, or, you know, he was up really restless, that maybe today he's going to be a little bit more grumpy. Like, I don't think to have those conversations.
Yeah,
I just kind of drop and go.
Yeah.
But you like that? You think it's good if the parents get involved? Okay.
And I think for me personally, that's become more important since I've been a mother.
Yeah.
I see that is really important.
Mm.
And especially when they're so young, you can't really ask them, oh, did you have a late night last night?
Yeah,
like, what's going on? Like, they're not going to know. But you're, as a parent, you know that child the best. And you can tell if they're going to have a hard day. And it just also, I think, prepares the staff for what they can do. Like, okay, so, you know, there's these kids that are a bit tired today. That's, you know, take them for a rest early or do some more quiet activity, or could be the opposite. They have heaps of energy. Like, it helps us plan for the day when we know what is happening.
And you kind of know kind of what to expect.
Yeah. And definitely never feel like it is an inconvenience.
Yeah, that's what I do. Sometimes I do feel like,
if you are getting that vibe from the staff, then maybe it'll
Yeah, no, yeah, and I can't. Yeah, all right. No, that's really good.
anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But as Soph mentioned with separation anxiety, I know that that's a big thing. I'll go on just because it's where I'm at the moment with Hux, and I'm very grateful for our daycare. They're absolutely amazing in trying to come up with these different strategies to help him. So he is, I want to say, like my typical middle child, very much like happily just kind of stand in the back. He's just a lot quieter, where his brother and sister, you know, demand that attention. They're loud, they're outgoing, they're a lot, I think, more confident in some ways. And I think that he's really yearning, and this has come now because the daycare drop-off has been horrendous. So now, kind of looking back, I think maybe he's yearning for more one-on-one time. So he has been great with daycare. He's been going for 3 years now. And just the last couple of months, drop-off has been horrible. I'm talking clinging to the gate, having to pry his hands off, screaming. This, it's not even that he's upset, it's anger. And it's this real anger, and he is not like that at home.
Not at all.
Not at all. And this is where, I guess, as well, it's so important to talk to your teachers about where your kid's at or what's happening at home. And I said that to them, he's never like this, ever this angry. But it just happened overnight. He was fine, and then all of a sudden doesn't want to go. And as a parent, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what's changed? Is something going on at daycare? Are people being maybe mean? Is there, you know, your head goes in all these different avenues because you just don't know why all of a sudden he's, and it's just complete anger. Anyway, so we're now trying to put little strategies into place. So, because they ask him, you know, what's wrong, Hux? Why are you getting so upset? Or, you know, and he says, oh, I never get to stay at home. And I think I've tried the real nurturing angle where I'm like, it's okay, mummy's coming back. But then it just doesn't seem to work. So now I'm like, nah, we're not doing this. You're going to date. I'm trying a little bit more stern to just figure out what to do. So little things that we're doing is, you know, when we get there, we're trying now that he brings a toy with him. Hasn't really been working. We're trying where when he goes to the library and picks out a little book. So then when he comes home, he knows that it's just mummy and Huxley time, and they can read a book together. So little things like that. And he's definitely not crying for as long or not being so angry for as long. But yeah, in your situation, if you had that with a child where a child you could see very visibly had separation anxiety or just had some issues around drop-off, how would you help parents as well as a child through that?
Yeah, well, first, like, it's very common.
Okay, that's what they say to me as well, but you just...
Like, there's always a handful of kids that really struggle with drop-offs.
Yes.
And even, like, my daughter, who is now in year one, still struggles with drop-offs. But also, like, I'm not sure about your situation, but I'd say 99% of the time, as soon as the parent has gone, they're totally fine.
Well, sometimes he would go 20 minutes just... stubborn little thing.
That's probably like a bit of that stubbornness.
But it's not upset, it's almost anger. Like, how dare you leave me here? You know?
So, okay, some of the things that we would do at work would be giving them like a little job to do, distracting, like something, if they've got a favourite teacher, because that sometimes happens, making sure that they're there. So as a parent, I guess being consistent with your morning routine helps so that they know what's coming, like not just springing it on them, because most kids work really well with routine. With my kids, I know if I have a hectic morning trying to get out the door, that sets everyone off worse.
Okay.
And so trying to just have like be more organized maybe that morning so that there's a really good routine and they know, you know, explaining to them that, you know, we're going to drop you off and you're going to stay with your teacher, whoever that person is, for the day, and then I'm going to come back and get you, and just so that they are aware of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there is like this one miracle cure.
Everyone's different.
Everyone's different. But just communicating with the staff about what's going on, and like, getting them to send you a text, because it's harder for the parent, like, really, because you don't know when it's ended. But just to, so that you feel more at ease getting them to mess you or whatever and say, oh, they've settled.
It's going to sound so horrible, but I'm at a point now where I'm like, you're fine now. Like, you're taking the piss a bit. You're going to daycare. You've been going here for 2 years. He has friends. He's definitely a child that is happy to play on his own a lot. And he's not as loud and demanding of attention as the other two. But he's just different. And I think that's the thing I've got to remind myself. They're all different. Kids are different. I've now got to learn to, okay, Zyla may only need me to read a book for her for 15 minutes every night, and that be enough, where he may just need that little bit more. You know?
Of course. And maybe it's something, because, I mean, he's starting big school next year. Do you think he's a bit stressed about that? Could he be subconsciously?
I don't know.
But then, I mean, do they really think about that at that age?
Yeah, like, do they?
I think once they start doing the Head Start thing and they've been there, then that can sometimes trigger Yeah.
I don't know if this is an answer. It's probably not a blanket answer. But can anxiety in children just happen like instantly? Or
well,
is it...
I guess it could be shown in a different way that maybe you don't notice and then it changes.
Yeah. Look, we've got strategies in place, as you said, it's really important.
Like really
and I think, they've been really good at helping
and
me.
That's really good that they have those strategies as well.
How do you collaborate with parents and families to ensure the best care and development for their children? I mean, which is kind of what we were talking about before, like, you know, each morning saying where your kid's at, what kind of night they've had or morning. Is there anything else you could touch on with that, do you think?
So usually when a child first starts, you might do a little questionnaire kind of thing and try and get to know the child a bit more because, we tailor, like, a lot of programs and stuff for, you know, each child's individual interests and stuff. So we do want to really try and get to know the kids.
Of course,
And also just trying to, if you guys have been away on a holiday, sharing that with your friends at school is fun.
Yeah, Hux loves that. I definitely have to say that helps sometimes too, sending photos in because he gets like proud to talk about it.
Like we have an app where we upload photos and stuff for the parents to see. So it's just trying to keep that communication going. If things are happening at home, sharing that with the staff.
Yeah.
And then, start.
I have to say the app is really good. Like because Felix goes twice a week and I love it. Like, you know, when they're sleeping, when they're, you know, pooping, weaning, all that sort of stuff. Maybe because he's in the baby room.
Yeah. I was going to say, we don't get that anymore. I remember, like, soiled nappy.
Yeah. Or
when you have nappy cream two servings of... Why are kids always, I don't know if it's just mine, so hungry when they get home from daycare? And then I look, well, they actually don't say how many servings they've had. But my kids are so hungry after daycare. It's so strange.
Maybe because they're doing more.
I feel like my kids eat so much more at home.
Yeah.
But when they're at school or daycare, they're just so busy and want to play.
I know, and then you see they're like, gourmet stir-fried chicken. I'm like, did not eat that last night.
I know, that's like Felix, the same thing. Like, you can see what they've eaten and stuff like that. And they're always like, oh, he always wants more food.
I absolutely believe that because he's such a hungry child.
He, like, literally will eat anything, which it's a good thing. But I do find the app really good and I love looking at, like, the photos and then, like, kind of knowing, you know, how much sleep they've had in the early days, especially when they're like, okay, now I'll put them at 7 tonight or I'll put them down at 6 or whatever. I find that very helpful, which I love. Yeah.
So really, I think comes back to the key thing is just communicating and having a good relationship with the educator.
And not feeling like you're an inconvenience.
Yeah.
Like, never feel like, because you're actually helping by communicating.
And making your job easier as well. And that leads me into the next question, which I think is a really important one and probably one I didn't really think of. Like, as a first-time mum, I just thought, you know, a daycare is a daycare, every daycare is the same. What do you think as a parent what we should be looking for when picking the right daycare for our child, and what are some key factors do you think?
So I reckon, like, trust your gut instinct. That is number one. Like, when you walk into a center, I reckon you can just get the vibe.
I totally agree.
So happy kids that are engaged in activities would be one thing.
That's good.
So, yeah, not just, like, running around, but actually, like, engaged in whatever they're doing, whatever their play is, and engaged educators.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing worse when you get there.
Yeah.
And I've had that, like, with my kids have been to a few daycares, and it's like every time I get there, the educators are, like, there and the kids are there.
You want your kids to be with people that want to be there.
Yeah.
So them engaged and look happy as well. But a question that I would maybe ask too along those lines is, like, how long the staff have been there? Like,
okay.
Because, if you, like, I would only want to send my kids somewhere where I'd want to work.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's really good to know.
Somewhere where the staff are happy and staying.
Okay.
Because happy staff would make happy children.
Because there is a, like, you know, like, these days too, which isn't a bad thing, that you see a lot of young kids, which is fine.
Young educators,
which, of course, they're starting their career and
they've got the energy and whatever. But I guess, is that something that, I don't know if that's, like, the right thing to say, but is it better to be looking for people that have been there
the young ones?
Sometimes the young ones are great. Like, I was a young one at one stage. So where I work, there's a really good mix.
That's what I mean, like, having a mix of...
So having young staff who are, you know, got lots of energy.
Yes.
And engaged and stuff is really good, but then having some more mature staff.
Have that at our daycare. It's a really good mix.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a really high turnover in early childhood, but a lot of, sometimes that is just financial. Like,
I was about to say, is it the pay?
Yeah, sometimes it is. So, like, say there's some staff who've got, like, certificate 3. They could go and be a, like, nail technician and get paid more. That's sometimes what happens. Like, if they don't love the industry and don't want to study more, more or whatever, then they can
do something
be
else.
Turned off.
Which is so crazy because there's such a big part of your child's life. Like, we're putting our trust and in these people. I feel like they should, you know, should be paid.
But it's just like nurses and stuff, right? It's
I can understand it now. Not that I didn't before, but like.
Yeah, but you're just a bit blasé to the fact of it, I think, when you don't, when it's not relatable to where you're at in your life.
Yeah.
It's just, I honestly take my hat off to you guys because.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
Yeah.
Very challenging.
Yeah. Very much so.
Hey, how do you stay up to date with the latest research and best practices in childhood education? Is it courses and stuff that people have that you have to do? Or how does that
sort
of work?
Yeah, so there's certain like courses like first aid and child protection courses that we have to do and keep up to date with. But we do like different PDs on like programming and stuff, like as a staff. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of that sort of stuff. But I just love like reading about early childhood, and these days with social media and stuff, it's just so much. Like back when I first started, you'd have to go to a PD to learn something.
And what's
something.
A PD, sorry?
Oh, professional development.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, like PD. Don't know the slang yet.
So that would be like you have a staff meeting and someone that's an expert in the field would come in and talk to you about programming generally or childhood development, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now, like just online, I just listen to like podcasts about early childhood. And,
I know you know so much.
Do you feel like it's changed a lot since you started?
It has been like with the, or there's something now called the Early Years Learning Framework, which is fairly new. It wasn't around when I first started.
Yeah.
So there are some programming things that have changed. Different, I guess, learning, like educating styles have changed a little bit.
And also, lucky last, how do you balance between structured learning and allowing children to explore and learn at their own pace?
Yeah, well, I could do a whole podcast on this.
I've seen you had another Instagram in your bio and it was all about like play and learning.
Sensory.
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
So, because of the degree I did, I have taught in primary school and early childhood and childcare. The big sort of difference is that childcare is very play-based.
Yes.
Because learning through play, following the child's interests, very spontaneous, which is one of the reasons why I really like that early childhood rather than working in primary school, because primary school is a lot more structured. And like you have all these outcomes that you need to meet, and you still have that in early childhood. There are certain things, but like a child at that age, particularly like, you know, that 3-4,
so impressionable.
You're so impressionable, and they are just natural learners.
Like, they
just want to know everything.
Yeah, very quickly.
Like, my 3.5-year-old daughter, she is constantly asking me questions.
And it's sometimes annoying, but you're like, okay, just forgetting that they're only a little.
Yeah, I want to know, and they
have to,
just want
to
learn everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the fun thing about childcare is that, you know, you can answer those questions. Okay, let's go and like explore that. Like, they teach themselves basically.
Yeah.
You just have to provide the resources, and like they will teach themselves and discover things themselves, and that's what I love.
Which is so exciting. They're like such sponges. Like even one, like Felix, he's just so inquisitive already and so into everything and very aware of things. I know every kid's different, but I can just only imagine what he's going to be at 2 or 3.
I know. I'm just like, what's going on in their little minds?
Yes.
Like, you know, when you see at daycare, they're doing like sensory, and then they're outside, and then they're reading books. And I know that maybe the baby room's a little bit different, but you know, they kind of, and then they explain everything on the app as well. Sorry, a little bit off topic about what they're doing and why it's good.
Like
the outcomes and stuff. I mean, especially as a first time mum, I mean, they do that now. I'm going to put my hand up and say, don't always read. But as a first time mum, I remember I was checking out the app all the time.
Well, just to be aware too that like they are learning. It's not just playing. So much learning. Like, I actually just read something this morning. It was about like kids learning told it pencil and write, and how
Puck struggles with that. I probably should
be practicing. Well, there's so much that needs to happen before they can hold a pencil.
Wow.
And doing things like Play-Doh, playing in the mud, like all that, like fine motor activities needs to happen before they can hold a pencil.
Yeah, wow.
So doing all that kind of stuff is like really important. There's so much pressure put on like parents and teachers, I guess, to for kids to be able to hold a pencil, but little kids don't actually have all the bones like and development in their hands to hold a pencil until they get to like school age. Just don't stress out.
And what would you say? I'm going to add one little question because now that Pux is finishing daycare and starts school next year, what is something, or what's some advice that you could give to parents that have kids now transitioning, transitioning into big school next year.
Yeah, so I'd say like the self-help, like being able to do things themselves.
Yeah, like zip up bags, yeah, unzip jackets.
Because it's one teacher to all those, yeah, all those kids. And that is a big difference. Like, mm-hmm, so I go to school and I have to be independent. Like,
yeah.
That's one of the things that my
opening lunch boxes. With. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't ever would have thought of that.
That's so true. They do say that we got like a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah, so that. But like as far as education goes, this is like my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
Is that I feel like there is so much pressure on kids to know all this stuff before, mm-hmm, they go to school. And like that's what school's for.
Yeah.
Like,
100%. And every kid's so different.
And this is what I think sometimes Dean and I, not butt heads at all, because Isla was doing that at that age. Mm. They're very different.
And boys are very different to girls, aren't they?
Yeah. Would you say that in learning what? I mean, not all boys and girls are different. Like there's, I just felt like Z was just above her age. Loves to learn, loves to read, loves to write.
Yeah, my eldest was the same.
Where Hux is just not interested in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think sometimes it can be gender. Or yeah, like all my four of my kids are all different.
Yeah.
My eldest is that wants everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, like wants to do really well and everything. And she was the first one to like write her name and do all this kind of stuff. Whereas my son could not care less.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I think it's just catered different to every child. Like, so I feel like Felix is quite ahead of his, for his age.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not, like, because he was walking at 11 months. But then maybe when he's older, he might, like, not be. I don't know.
I think that's honestly one of the biggest challenges with being a parent is just identifying their different needs.
And then comparing, being like, oh, my kid's not doing this yet. Does that mean they're behind?
Yeah, and you naturally do that as a parent. Like, when you see a two-year-old talking and then your two-year-old doesn't talk, you're like, shit, am I not doing enough with them? Are they not learning enough? Are they, you know, behind? It's such a natural thing. And everyone would say, oh, don't compare, but you still do when it's your child that feels like is left behind, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I could speak about this for forever because it's so interesting and you're such a wealth of knowledge. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was honestly like really good and so many great questions, so many great answers. And I think that's going to help a lot of people. So thank you so much.
Really appreciate it, Jess. If you have any questions for Jess whatsoever, I'll leave her Instagram handle in the show notes and shoot them through. But we hope you enjoyed this week's episode and have a lovely week.